This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on, Joy. And we have some very special guests in the studio. I'm surrounded by three lovely Irishmen here. It's very cosy indeed in the studio at the moment. I have the Celtic Tenors. Now, is it Celtic or Celtic?
Well done, it's Celtic.
Celtic, yep. Right, that's what I was saying, but just some people say Celtic, to be sure.
Usually it's sport, it's
sport
Celtic.
Is Celtic, yeah, Celtic, and arts is K, we think.
Okay, right, I've heard this sort of more American thing as a Celtic one. Anyway, Matthew, James and Daryl, we welcome you to do the Joy Studios. Now, Celtic Tenors, what style of songs would you be singing?
Well, normally if people come to a show, because we're classically trained originally, we met in the opera. Of course, we do operatic stuff like Nessun Dorma and La Donna Mobile Li Biamo. But then when we were signed...
Oh, I like it when you talk dirty.
Nella fantasia. But then we were signed to EMI years ago. We've just been recently, of course, signed to Decca Universal. But they asked us to do Celtic and Irishy songs from our homeland.
They basically said, we've got Pavarotti and Domingo on our books. They do that stuff better than you. So you do stuff that you do better than them.
But we can still do it in the concerts.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But I think as time has passed on, I think we now just do songs that we like. And I think we regard ourselves as kind of an international singing act that sings international songs. That
mostly
we like.
ABBA.
That's James. No. We have never done an ABBA song.
Oh, goodness. Okay, and so what... What other songs do you sing then, besides the classical and the Irish?
We actually did
Irish?
An album of American songs as well, because we tour a lot in North America, and we did an album of American songs. Classical crossover, you know, the kind of Andrea Bocelli stuff, and then a lot of Celtic and Irish and Scottish songs.
I think folk music is where we came from.
Well, acapella as well.
I mean, I think the three of us came from very, very different backgrounds.
Mm.
Catholic, Protestant, gay, straight, north, south of the country.
We like a bit of a mix here at Joy. It's good to see. Now, how long was the Celtic Tenors been together? Has it always been just the three of you guys, or has it changed over the time, or what's happened?
There has been one change in lineup 9 years ago when Daryl came into the group.
Right. And welcome, Daryl. Yeah, say hello, Daryl.
Good morning.
Yeah, see, his microphone is working. It's all
it
good.
I'm the shy one in the group.
That's what they all
that's
say.
That's so not true.
It's the quiet ones you got to watch. I'm watching it.
Now, there was one change in 2005, 2006, and Daryl came in, thankfully.
We went down one gay.
We did. We had two gays before that. Okay, only room for one gay in the village.
You're more representative of the population. Very nice thing. Now, there's a very talented and varied background from the three of you. How did you actually get together?
James?
Well, we met in the opera, in Strauss's opera Die Fledermaus.
Nice.
And the three of us were all in the same opera production with Opera Ireland at the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin.
Of course, where else?
And we were brought together and signed to EMI then, but then 15 years later we've been just re-signed to re-signed. Universal Decca.
So. Excellent. Now, just a quick rundown. You can introduce yourselves and we'll get Daryl to say something.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, a little bit about your backgrounds, where you're from, why you're in the group and that sort of thing.
Well, I studied... It seems to be all about me here today.
Well, we'll move
off... It's all about you.
We'll move off you in a minute.
Well, I studied kind of a classical training and did a Bachelor of Music at University College Dublin, was an organist and choir master in a church and sang with the
gay man being an organist. Yeah, there's
exactly.
A line there.
A bit of a cliche there.
He's not a hairdresser. Type of organist.
No. And then I moved to London to study with a teacher there and got an opera agent and sang in the opera for about 10 years professionally worldwide.
Good
and
idea.
Then we were brought together for the Celtic Tenors.
Excellent. Okay, Daryl, your turn.
Well, I come from the north.
That's enough, right? Move on.
Yeah. I'm going home now. Goodbye.
Sorry, darling. Say your piece.
So I come from the north of Ireland, a little town called Omagh, County Tyrone. And I grew up loving sport, actually. That was my big thing.
Sport? Okay.
Rugby and soccer, or football as we call it, and played a lot.
Very butch.
And unfortunately, I got a serious injury at 17, ruptured my spleen and bile.
On the table tennis table.
Played rugby. Yeah, on the table tennis table. And
in this tutu.
I ended up going to college to study music, and then after that... I trained to be an opera singer and was singing in Zurich in the opera house in Switzerland.
Nice.
And Matthew gave me a call to see would I be interested in joining the group for a year at that stage.
Right.
Which
one
is
of those part-time jobs
9 years
lasted.
Ago. Yeah. Yeah. So it lasted quite a while. Yeah. So that's basically where I'm at. Although I came as a pianist and now I also play guitar in the show. But, you know, tenor singing is absolutely fabulous way to make a living.
You're a busy boy then, aren't
yeah.
you? Very good. You also do some, I've noticed in, I'll just bring a little thing out, are you developing young talent for a career in music?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a youth choir at home. In fact, I just toured the US. In fact, we joined up
nice.
With the tenors and did some shows at the Milwaukee Irish Fest, which is one of the largest music festivals in the Irish music festivals in the world, so that was a lot of fun. But really, the choir was set up out of a tragedy in my hometown with the Troubles in Northern Ireland back in 1998, so it's quite a special thing for me to be able to help and nurture and develop young talent.
Excellent. Well done. Well
Thank
done
you.
Indeed. Matthew?
Well, I'm a farm boy. I'm a farmer's son.
Normally we get them from New Zealand, but right. I've just lost half my audience.
I studied engineering. That's my primary degree. Was
engineering?
In, yeah.
So that's a bit of a switch.
Yeah, a big switch. But I always sang and... From when I was very small, I was, you know, sitting on a fruit box and singing at mass.
A fruit box?
Yeah.
Steady now.
Splinters. It's horrible. Hit the high notes really well.
That's only when the splinters are in your feet.
That too. Yeah.
That sort of worked out. I loved it, but I always sang, and I took a sabbatical. After about 5 years of engineering,
right,
and I started. I just happened to meet James.
Right,
I was singing in an opera in Dublin, and I happened to meet James, we kind of hit it off, and we kind of came together and did a little project that was wonderful, absolutely marvelous, and you know, suddenly my 6 month sabbatical became 15
right.
years.
And welcome to real life.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's how James and I kind of came together, and we changed our name to the Celtic Tenors about a year after that, and
okay.
From there on.
Well done. Now, fantastic and very cultured and varied background too, from engineering to farm boy, right? Now, you've played a worldwide variety of venues. What's some of the more intimate venues you've played?
Gosh. Intimate.
Well, we sang for President Bill Clinton, a very intimate venue.
The most intimate.
Did he smoke a cigar, though?
He wasn't smoking, no. The most intimate was Kofi Annan and his wife, whose name is Nana Annan.
Nana Annan.
A lovely lady. A lovely lady. But it was literally the two of them sitting in front of us with a little round table, two glasses of champagne, and we sang 5 or 6 songs to them. For her birthday. It was a gift from Bono.
Oh, lovely.
He bought us. Bono bought us.
So you have
evening.
A price.
He rented
right.
us for an evening. And
we're quite cheap, really.
Says the gay man, right.
we're a lot dearer. That was very intimate and lovely. And, you know, it's always...
special.
Those tiny, intimate evenings are the most exposing.
Right, because you actually outnumbered your audience.
Yeah,
then we were exposing.
Well, I think
keep the pink shirt on, James. Right.
On a slightly more serious note, we actually performed at Gallipoli this year with a lot of the ANZAC veterans,
ANZAC,
and that was quite a special moment for us because we got to learn a lot about Australian and New Zealand culture and the history of it, and actually the history of Irish men who served in the First World War also. So it was. It was very poignant for us, and certainly we readily identify with the Australian people. And, I suppose there's so many Irish here anyway.
There are a lot of Irish.
It was us and Dame Kiri, just for a little name drop there.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. As if we couldn't drop any more names today. Ridiculous.
Okay, I hate to be a sass queen. The largest? Biggest audience?
Well, actually, the big festivals. Well, no, we actually did the first ever London St. Patrick's Festival in Trafalgar Square.
Wow.
110,000 people.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, it was the biggest one.
Yeah.
We did.
Well, that's called the Grand Final crowd. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That was cool. And then the big Irish festivals in the States, like Milwaukee Irish Fest, is 20,000, 25,000 people as well. It's for classical boys. It's kind of very rock and roll.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So would you have to adapt your style for that sort of larger audience?
Yeah,
a bit more rocky stuff,
or a bit more rock and roll, don't we?
Yeah, we kind of just do what we do, though. I think our show is naturally not. It's not stuffy, and we're just ourselves. And you know, from day one, we threw out the dinner suits, the dinner jackets, and
good
just
stuff.
Kind of were a bit
despite
more,
the album
a
cover,
a bit more relaxed.
Absolutely,
some semblance of formality.
Yeah, but I think we're kind of partly rockers at heart.
Right. Any unusual sort of quirk? You mentioned the Kofi Annan sort of. Production. Is there any other unusual ones that you've?
Yeah, a few years ago we met up with Air Supply.
Oh right,
and
yeah.
We were very fortunate. Our manager was a local promoter at the time, and he was putting on a few Air Supply shows. And he said, "You need to meet these young men that I'm dealing with." So he gave him a copy of our record, and we ended up doing a large recording session with them in America. We recorded I'm All Out of Love with them.
Oh, nice. Yep.
And we ended up doing a small tour with them in the States. And they're great guys.
Toured as well as guests of Whitney's auntie Dionne Warwick as well.
Oh, wow. So good stuff. How do you keep it fresh, though? I mean, so many concerts all around the world, sort of
Never do the same show twice.
Right.
No. Just never do the same show twice. That's
okay.
The way
our banter on stage as well. Daryl's hilariously funny. The jokes are fantastic, you know. So our banter is interesting.
He was actually shaking.
You know what I like about you, James?
Nothing. Not a whole
very
lot.
Little.
No, it's an unscripted show. Anything can happen. Yeah. Any night,
and it does.
It's quite good fun. In fact, going back to the Air Supply, we were doing the symphony over in Vancouver a few years ago, and there's a big dramatic rise in the middle of the song. Like mm-hmm. Big pause.
Yep.
And I'm la da, la da, la da, la, and singing this note, and there's a big pause, and this little lady shouted out from the audience, "You can park your shoes under my bed any night, son."
Or there was the
sun.
Whatever it was. And the orchestra lost.
Cougar lady.
Night, she was about 93.
Or the night that Matthew dedicated a birthday song to a 97-year-old lady and said, "This is for Margaret. This is time to say goodbye." Honestly, that happened.
Oh. I think we'll cut to a track right now. We'll chat more with the boys in a moment.
We can go.
You're on Joy
all night, so don't 94.9. Be shy. I'm about to blow your mind. Come on, baby.
Joy's podcast service is proudly sponsored by audible.com.au. Right now, Audible want to give you a free audiobook of your choice when you try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com.au/joy to redeem your voucher. There's over 150,000 audiobooks available. Choose from intense thrillers such as The Girl on the Train by Paula Hawkins, laugh out loud with famous comedians such as Tina Fey, or discover the newest releases like Dexter is Dead, Pride and Modern Prejudice, and many more. Joy's podcast team suggests The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, read by Stephen Fry. Support Joy by signing up, plus get a free trial and audiobook. Go to audible.com.au/joy now. audible.com.au/joy.
You're on Joy 94.9 with the Gazman, and I've got three very handsome men here who are the Celtic Tenors, and it's Matthew, James and Daryl. Now, there was a referendum recently in Ireland about equal marriage. Now, to me, a vote can be divisive. There's winners and losers. So, are the losers still upset about the vote for marriage equality?
I think there was a lot of confusion at the time when the referendum was being fought out and discussed, and we had a great champion called Panty Bliss, who I think has opened Sydney Gay Pride. Panty Bliss. Mm-hmm. She's our most famous drag queen and was a great champion for the referendum. But I think there was a lot of confusion that the no voters tended to think that it was all about they were concentrating on children being adopted and stuff, which was nothing to do with the referendum at all.
Yep.
It was purely about equality, and that's what the whole thing was, you know, and people were getting all wound up with all the what about the children? What about the children? And Catholic Ireland, you know. But so I think there was a lot of confusion. But I think people are hopefully happy.
For me, as a straight guy, sort of looking at it from a sort of the straight person's standpoint, from my standpoint at least, I think most people in the world are absolutely you know, their friends, their parents, family members, not parents, family members are gay. So,
well, I'm a father, so parents.
Yeah,
can
yeah,
be included
absolutely,
too.
Of course, yeah. And I think it was great, an immense sense of pride for straight people that we are in a country that totally embraces everybody.
Excellent.
And it was an immensely great thing, elevating thing for me.
We've had firsts in Ireland. I mean, we were the first in the world to have the smoking ban, and now suddenly this as well.
It's very similar.
23, yes. Well, no, but 23 years ago, you know, gays were criminals. I grew up in a time when we were criminals, it was very, very, very tough. Mm. You know, I write a column for my local paper in Sligo in the west of Ireland, and I did, after the referendum, I decided to do my gay story, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people said, but you never told us that. You never told us you were held at knife point or mugged and stuff like this. Yep. This was the time I grew up, and it was very different. We were criminals.
Just a quote from your newspaper article. Thanks to the referendum, it's easier for gays now. Gay kids shouldn't have to go through what kids in my generation suffered.
Absolutely. And they really did suffer. And I'm very private about my sexuality at home, really. I don't wear it on my sleeve, I suppose. Everybody knows, but I'm not really very out there or whatever. Well, now I am, obviously. But I just decided the time was right. If only one child was going to read it or, you know, helped, maybe that's worth it.
But I think more importantly, and again, looking really from an outside perspective, because I live in the north of Ireland, so we didn't have the referendum. But it was very cathartic for the nation of Ireland to have this discussion. Mm. And I think a lot of people started to understand a little bit better what it was to be gay. Because I think unless you're exposed to being around friends, and obviously we grew up very in the arts I have a lot of gay friends, male and female, and you become much more aware of what it is to walk in their shoes as such through life. Yep. And I think if you're not exposed to that, then it becomes more difficult to get a proper handle on what this is like.
You mentioned a sporting background for yourself, so that sort of area would not be
absolutely
openly gay friendly.
But that's one thing now that we're starting to see. I mean, before too long, I think, you know, men who play sports in particular are going to actually decide and put their hand up, you know what, I am gay.
There are several already.
Yeah, there are. So, it's a cathartic process, I think, for a lot of people.
I also thought it was very interesting that people who voted no, who openly voted no, were maybe between in the 60s.
Oh,
Late 50s, mid and 60s.
A generational thing.
But people older than that were voting yes.
Oh,
so it was
interesting
that the grannies and the grandfathers were out, very outwardly coming out and saying, I'm voting yes because, you know, we're all God's children kind of thing. So it was very Christian. In a sense, and very openly, you know, welcoming towards to everybody. And then the people who were my parents' sort of age, which I don't know if that's a telling thing. I'm sure there's something in that. And then everybody who was under the age of 30 seemed to vote yes as well.
Excellent. Right. So there's a lot of acceptance now. So has the fabric of Irish society changed?
I think so. We almost had a gay president a few years ago as well, a guy called David Norris, who actually was the one who legalised homosexuality all those years ago. He's done a huge amount. It sounds as well like I'm Panties manager here or something, but if you check out on YouTube, there's Panties Noble Call. There's the most heart-rending and emotional speech that she gave in the Abbey Theatre in Dublin a few years ago, and it's wonderful. It's really worth checking out.
Right. So society hasn't fallen apart or anything?
No.
And I think the referendum was an effect rather than a cause. I think that the running of a gay presidential candidate that really he nearly won, and I suppose we're so proud of Oscar Wilde, and so many of our great patriots were gay, and it's only coming out now that they were gay. Some of them, like the really serious patriots, people who died for our country, you know. So it's a manly thing, or it's not.
It's not the stereotype sort of drag queen stuff or the twinkie bits and stuff.
Absolutely,
we have a very big gay pride in Dublin now as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
Excellent. Back to the concerts.
Back to the concerts. So.
Now, you heard a few backup groups in your time. You just don't do a cappella or DJ stuff, do you?
No.
There's quite a few symphonies you've actually had backing you up.
Yeah, we've just done a series of symphonies, and we've got some more coming up in the US and Canada. So anything from a full AGP Symphony Orchestra. In fact, we did a Chinese tour with a Chinese Symphony Orchestra, which was amazing.
Okay.
That was an incredible experience, right down to a cappella. So.
I think we're quite, our versatility is part of our versatility would lie in that our sort of our simple show is just ourselves and our piano. Mm-hmm. Piano player who's also incidentally
gay.
he's not here. but it can move, to a band, to a rock band sort of lineup.
He's very out.
He's very out. He did a brilliant Facebook.
He did amazing. Thing have him in the next time.
Now I'm a little confused here. It's very easy for me as a gay man. The current tour has been advertised as Celtic Woman. Now who does the drag?
We actually all do it in the first half.
No, we're appearing as very special guests of Celtic Woman because we've done nothing in Australia. We mostly concentrate in North America and Europe, and we've done nothing out here at all.
So nobody has a clue who we are.
We're Aussie virgins, basically. So we're asked to be special guests of Celtic Woman. Mm. We've done quite a bit out here. So we are...
Okay, so Celtic Woman is a woman?
It's women.
Women,
the
right.
Girls, yes.
Okay.
Beautiful girls.
Four great girls.
Something for everyone.
Something for everyone.
Very good indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And panty. No, she's not in.
Right. <there's, laughs> You've got a new album out, fellas. Now, what's that one called?
Timeless.
Timeless.
And it's timeless, except that it runs
no rhythm.
It runs for about 54 minutes, so it's not totally timeless. But
unless you put it on repeat.
Exactly. But again, and it falls into our kind of new love affair with Australia. I mean, we were signed to Decca Australia on a worldwide deal with the Universal label. And also our producer is a guy who lives locally, Charles Fisher. We flew him to Ireland, and Charles produced Olivia Newton-John and Air Supply, Savage Garden. Famously, so he's a fantastic guy. So we're delighted to have the associations and to work with great people.
You're going to sing us a song, I believe.
We are.
Is it from the album?
It is. It's the number one track, and it was a song written by John Denver back in the 70s. And it's amazing how he could see where the future was lying with the eco awareness and things. He wrote this song called Calypso. About the ocean and how important it is.
It's about Jack Cousteau's boat.
Yes, yeah.
Called Calypso.
Calypso, yeah.
Let's hear it. You're on Joy. Celtic Tenors.
Hang on, I'll take these.
Actually, this is the first time we've done this on Radio Live.
Yeah.
It's a first for Joy, first for Melbourne, first for the world.
To sail on a dream on a crystal clear ocean, to ride on the crest of the wide raging storm. To work in the service of life and the living, in search of the answers to questions unknown.
To be part of the movement, part of the growing,
part of beginning to understand. I, Calypso, the places you've been to, the things that you've told us, the stories you tell. I, Calypso, I sing to your spirit, the men who have served you so long and so well. Adieu!
Like the dolphin who guides you, you bring us beside you to light up the darkness and show us the way. For though we are strangers in your silent world, to live on the land we must learn from the sea.
To be true as the tide, free as the windswell,
joyful and loving in letting it be. the places you've been to, the things that you've told us, the stories you tell. I, Calypso, I sing to your spirit, the men who have served you so long and so well. Adi hey, your Lord, your lady, your lady. Adi hey.
Crowd has gone wild. Studio crowd's having a lot of good fun here. Okay, that was fantastic, fellas. That was really, really, really gorgeous. And I feel a bit special.
Did you see the fear in our eyes?
It's the first time we've ever done it on radio anywhere in the world.
It's very, very high in the morning.
Early in the morning.
I was watching my levels here. It was all right. It's all good. Now I've got a Melbourne concert coming up. When and where?
20th. The 20th of September.
20th September, yeah. At the Margaret Court Arena, yeah. Correct. Yes.
Well, we passed the test.
Well done, yes.
With Celtic woman.
With Celtic woman.
With Celtic woman.
Who yes. are women.
So, right. So, is the...
Is
the
women with women.
If women... If women. If people are looking up the show... Me with women on my mind, that's most unusual. So, is the concert billed as Celtic tenors or Celtic women?
Celtic woman.
Celtic woman.
With special guests, the Celtic tenors.
Right.
Very special.
Yeah. Very special.
Who are men.
But you can
not
find
them.
You can, of course, catch up with where we're at and what we're doing on our Facebook page, Celtic
Tenors.
Yeah,
we've no friends. And can you please friend us?
Yes, absolutely. And also then on our website, Celtic-Tenors.com, and you
That's
can see
Celtic-tenors.com.
All the info about the dates and things. Because we're all over Australia, so if you have friends or family that you might want to encourage to come along, we'd love to see them.
And there are great plans for us to come back next year with our own tour.
Right. Well, I'd certainly love to have you back in the studios here, guys.
We'd love to. And we'll have Colm, our gay musical director, with us.
Right.
He probably won't say a word because he's very shy.
Yeah, like this Daryl guy.
Exactly.
Here. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I've been speaking with James, Matthew and Daryl, who are the Celtic Tenors, and it's been a fantastic experience for me and also for our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All the best with the concerts.
Joy's podcast service is proudly sponsored by audible.com.au. Right now, Audible want to give you a free audiobook of your choice when you try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com.au/joy to redeem your voucher. There's over 150,000 audiobooks available. Choose from intense thrillers such as The Girl on the Train by Paula Hawkins. Laugh out loud with famous comedians such as Tina Fey. Or discover the newest releases like Dexter is Dead, Pride and Modern Prejudice, and many more. Joy's podcast team suggests The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, read by Stephen Fry. Support Joy by signing up, plus get a free trial and audiobook. Go to audible.com.au/joy now. audible.com.au/joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.